In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. T.S. Eliot wrote that April is the cruelest month because of its false expectations of life in the midst of Eliot's wasteland of death. But as Pastor Ladick so aptly pointed out last week, November is really the cruelest month of all. For death is all around us. The beauty of autumn is a recent memory. And even though today is not typical of a November day, the reality of the cold, dark, damp days of winter are upon us. And as the days grow darker with the winter solstice approaching in our hemisphere, the thoughts of death, death of the world, seem imminent. November also seems a very cruel month in the church year. For in these last three Sundays after Pentecost, the lessons are very apocalyptic. Yesterday, for example, many of us heard the bright news that the days are coming when lightning will flash and light up the sky from one side to the other, when fire and brimstone will rain down from heaven and destroy us all. As the days become dark and ominous, the church year turns our thoughts to suffering, death, and judgment. And so just about the last thing we would expect to think about in this time of year is birth or rebirth. That seems much more appropriate to Eliot's cruel month of April. And yet the last two words of our lesson appointed for this day have to do with birth. Birth pangs, to be exact, the sufferings that accompany the joy of giving birth to a child. Birth pangs. What's going on here? Isn't this the 24th chapter after Matthew that focuses on the signs of the last time? And isn't this November? Isn't this the end of the church year with all its themes of doom and destruction? Yes, but what does our Lord have to say about the birth pangs? For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, he says, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, Jesus is simply answering a private question of his disciples concerning the second coming and the close of the age. And Jesus says that there will be birth pangs that are a sign that the end is coming. Birth pangs of such things as false prophets coming in his name saying, I am the Christ. Birth pangs of wars and rumors of wars, of nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Birth pangs of famines and earthquakes. These are nothing but birth pangs. But the end is not yet. Then how will we know when the birth pangs begin? Well, as Jesus and his disciples are leaving the temple for the last time that Jesus is in the temple before his passion, as they are leaving, the disciples, these Galilean pilgrims who are awestruck as out-of-towners by the magnificence of the temple, they point out all these buildings to Jesus. And in response, Jesus calls for the destruction of the temple. He says, truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. The birth pangs begin when Jerusalem, the holy city, is destroyed. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to you, behold, your house is forsaken and desolate. This lament over Jerusalem immediately precedes Jesus' call for its destruction. And both these things must have been devastating to the disciples. For as good Jews, good, faithful, pious Jews, Jerusalem was the holy city. The temple was the center of their faith. It was the shrine of God's presence. It was an external sign of God's favor. And in Jesus' lament over Jerusalem, his call for the destruction of the temple, this signaled to the disciples that something catastrophic was happening, that there was going to be some great shift in the world, that the end was coming, at least the old covenant was coming to an end. And when Jesus speaks those five words, "Truly I say to you," he emphasizes that the destruction of Jerusalem is a judgment upon the Jews for killing the prophets. That's right. Killing the prophets. That was the essence of Jesus' final woe to the Pharisees and scribes. And that final woe just precedes his lament over Jerusalem and his call for the destruction of the temple. For Jesus sent prophets and wise men and scribes, and Jerusalem killed them, crucified and persecuted them, Jesus said, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah. And yet, there was one more prophet to be killed. And there he stood in the midst of them. There he stood in Jerusalem, the holy city. There he stood in line with all the prophets, the suffering righteous prophets before him. For as the last and final prophet, the one prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy 18, Jesus must die. And he must die for all the prophets. He must die for all the people. He must die for the world. For his atonement was atonement for the sins of the world, bringing an end to suffering and death, ushering in a new world and a new covenant through the shedding of his blood. And with the shedding of his blood comes the end of old Jerusalem and the old covenant. And with his resurrection from the dead comes the new covenant, the new Jerusalem, and new life. For does not Jesus say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up? And does not the evangelist John interpret that by saying, but he spoke of the temple of his body? For by the death of Jesus' body, the new temple, the world dies once and for all, and by the resurrection of his body, he gives life for all. But the end is not yet. This is just the beginning of the birth pangs. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we know where we can find those birth pangs. Those birth pangs can be found all around us. They can be found in the suffering of God's faithful people. Suffering for the sake of the gospel, as we labor under the cross against false gospels that offer empty promise. Suffering as we confess an unpopular gospel in a culture that is hostile to a God that takes flesh and dies. Hostile to the humble God obedient unto death. Hostile to a God who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Every one of us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, suffers birth pangs, glorious birth pangs of hope and promise that the new Jerusalem is coming, birth pangs that are a sign that the resurrection is going to come. And so we remember what birth meant to a Jewish woman, how without birth pangs her life was meaningless. It was without hope, it was without promise. And yet with birth pangs, her life was not a disgrace, but the hope and the promise that she awaited was about to be fulfilled. Like a woman in childbirth, we as the Christian church suffer birth pangs in these last days between the ascension and the second coming. And we suffer them as we await the final consummation of all things. And yet we know as we suffer these birth pangs that just as Jesus must suffer, so also must we suffer these things. And yet they are only signs of the end, but the end is not yet. These birth pangs also mean that we can look for that new Jerusalem in Jesus Christ, that we don't have to wait for that new Jerusalem to come down out of heaven from God, but that when we gather together in His presence, we have a glimpse, we have a foretaste of that new Jerusalem wherever Jesus Christ is present. And He has promised us that He is present in His church. He has promised us that He is present here in our worship. For now, before the end, we have the blessings of the end, even though the end is not yet. For Jesus Christ is present in His Word. He is present whenever we gather around His table of body and blood, broken for us and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. We have His presence wherever we gather, as bodies who have been washed and made holy through water and the Word, bodies that have been made His temple wherein He dwells. And here, in the midst of all our birth pangs and struggles, we are refreshed by Him, the one who suffered, the one who died, and the one who rose again to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. As we worship Him here, in His presence, in this place, with all these birth pangs, we prepare to worship Him in His eternal presence in the heavenly Jerusalem, where there will be no more birth pangs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.